Spin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at ML on WLXG. Ask questions or comments on what you'd like Matthew to talk about on the show. Today's show is sponsored by French Lick Resort, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Play Golf Lexington, and by Edwin Watts Golf. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. That voice in my head sounds really weird. Good morning. Good morning. We're here at the Square Country Club, right on Main Street, here in beautiful Lexington, Kentucky, or as I like to call it, Allergy Alley. I never, ever have had allergies. Anywhere I've been, anywhere I've lived, I haven't had them here, and I've been here 8 years now. But for some reason, the last 3 or 4 or 5 days, it has been brutal. I hope you are not feeling the way I'm feeling. And so I apologize for the way I sound, if I sound weird, which Sean tells me I do. He just said very congested. So that's the way it is. Nothing I've taken works, so I'm just going to pile on through. We have a wonderful show lined up today. Of course, Perry French will join me, as he always does. We'll have a great discussion today, because we always do. And then all the way from Jupiter, Florida, our buddy Dan Hauser will join me from Lynx Magazine. And we'll talk to him a little bit about his thinking that he was going to get slammed by Hurricane Irma and actually escaped pretty well down there. And we'll talk to him a little about the third of the FedEx Cup events that's being played this week at Conway Farms outside Chicago. And then Michael Gallagher, our buddy from the Irish Junior Open Series, which just concluded this year, we'll talk to him. He'd be all the way from Ireland. He will be. And we'll speak to him about the second year of the Irish Junior Open Series and an interesting development that might be coming from him. And I can't wait to talk to him. He's one of my favorite people. And what he's done is staggering. And all those words like that in 2 years' time. We'll talk to him all about how Gary Player is now involved with the Irish Junior Open Series. And this year's Junior Golfer of the Year, who is seven. He's 7 years. Sean's laughing. I can't really tell Mickey when I talk to him how upset this makes me. Sean Ryan won last year. He's 9. Ollie is 7 this year, and they're fantastic. So we'll talk to Michael Gallagher also. Real quickly, the LPGA, the Evian Championship, which was a major, called off their first day because of bad weather. A lot of people are upset. Golfers playing a 54-hole major on the LPGA. All right, we'll be back with Perry French. Thanks for listening. It's Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Now, joining Matthew on Backspin Golf is Perry French, PGA professional and territory manager of Srixon Cleveland Golf.
Well, it's Sunday, Perry French Day. That's new. I don't think I've ever done that
very
in 4 years. Hi, Perry French.
Good morning.
You all right?
I'm good.
Have your coffee?
Got my coffee. I'm ready to
You're
go.
Good?
Yeah.
I couldn't go 3 hours without coffee in the
It was
morning.
Just one of those
just
things. Yeah, just was not a normal plan.
Yeah. I was a little worried about you before, but you're all right.
Right,
now.
Good.
Yeah, okay.
Let's talk some golf.
Okay. Let's. Funny, we have a golf show.
Yeah.
Let's talk some golf. All right. Obviously, last two weekends of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, all these months of. Who's leading in the FedEx Cup points total after one event?
It all
Stuff
starts
like
to
that.
Make sense now.
Now we know.
70 players.
Correct. 70. And then next week, 30.
Right.
At Eastlake.
It is the playoffs.
Okay. Before we get to this, there's a very interesting development that happened this week, which is the BMW Championship,
mm-hmm.
It's called.
Conway Farms, Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah,
great track. Had a chance to play that a long time ago when it first opened up.
Oh,
wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty
Thinking it's probably a pretty good track.
Whew. It's a track.
Well, when Perry French, PGA professional, does that, you know it's
yeah, it was, one of those things where I don't know when they built it, they were expecting to host the BMW Championship and part of FedEx, but you could tell it's like this golf course has all the markings, and this was in 1991. So a long time ago, that's, you know, it's not, and it's just.
Chicago has a lot of great golf courses.
Great golf region. I'm sorry I interrupted. Yeah, go.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah. You've been interrupting me for 4 years. Yeah. Or wait, I've been interrupting you for four years, I
that's
think
what
is how it,
is.
It works.
Yeah. So lots happened.
Sean, who interrupts who more? Yeah, we both
interrupt,
both of us.
It's
okay.
It's a mutual,
that's why this works.
It's a mutual conversation.
Mutual interruption society. All right, so they're in Chicago. They're at the BMW Championships. A while ago, all of us were stunned when Rory, or Roars, as I call him, all Irish people call him Roars, and I'm, of course, Irish.
Mm-hmm.
He and his caddy, JP, parted company.
Mm-hmm.
And Rory at the time said he's too good a friend.
Right.
And he felt like he was blaming JP for his poor play all the time.
Right.
So he just, as a human being, he didn't want to do it
anymore.
Well,
I was right on the heels of Phil and Bones splitting ways. This has been a very unusual year. And now the big news was what happened with Jason.
What happened?
Well, he announced before the BMW,
right,
that him and his longtime mentor, Colin Swanton, they're going to part ways at that part of the relationship, the caddy part.
Right.
Which, I get it. Caught the interview with Jason and very candidly said, look, he's my best mate.
Well, he's not only a mate, he's a father figure.
Right.
This is a guy that if you know about Jason Day and his story growing up, he actually went to a college that was a full-time kind of golf academy college where he was very lucky to get in. His mother sacrificed a great deal for him. And that's when he met Colin, and he's been his coach and a father figure for all these years. So I think that's the part that people go.
Well, they're at a point, and they're, he's had a great start to his career, and even at 28, we think he's been out there for a long time, and he has.
He's
been at the top of the heap for the last 6 years, really making a name for himself, and coming off being a world number one, not having won since the Players 2016.
Yep.
Those are things that all kind of start adding up, and also I think when a relationship of that nature, that is certainly, like you said, started with a mentor, coach. Then the caddy part is so much. It's so much work. It's so much business.
But I don't think people really understand
exactly
everything a caddy does.
And what happens is at the end of the day, you're both exhausted.
Right.
You don't want to have a beer and socialize because you've been doing it for 8 hours. If you do, it's we'll have a quick bite and then I'm going home to relax and just go on to other things. So I think what they felt was that if our relationship is going to continue, I want to do something else. And I think Colin is going to go back to looking for the next Jason Day. He's going to try to
He's also going to stay as Jason's coach.
Yeah, absolutely.
That part of it is not over.
So that makes perfect sense. And in the work piece of that is being on the bag. My goodness. Like I said, people don't realize the prep for the caddy for each week.
Right.
Prep that golf course, know the ins and outs. All the stuff that goes with trying to give the player the most it's personal valet,
right?
The most ease into the week of all the things that they need, and the player has to try to put all that together to be able to play their best and perform, and obviously make the type of money that they're making.
Right.
There's a lot of time constraints on them, and I think you put all that plus life. Family and all the things that go
and
with
Jason
it. Jason's
Day has
had
been
that.
Through a lot.
It makes sense. It was time to say, let's just kind of, let's put the refresh button. And I'm sure, amazingly, Phil and Bone stayed for, was it 25 years,
I want to say.
That's just crazy.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. Yeah. And it's a type of business where you are totally engaged for that week that you're out there or the multiple week. Every week it's the same amount of hours and just I think it's good. I think it's be good for Jason Day.
I think so too. And by the way, his new caddy is Luke Reardon, who's a former roommate of his at Hill College,
okay,
from Australia, which was a live-in golf academy. So they've known each other a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it'll be more like what Rory said. It'll be more on Jason Day himself. I mean, he's still going to get input. He'll still get yardages and all that. But
yep.
Rory said, I want, at the end of the day, every decision to be made by me, and I'll take either the credit or the blame if I mess up.
And we can call that a form of maturity, you know, maturation.
Yeah.
I mean, players, in the, especially at that young, have, being that successful, there is a good piece of comfort that comes from having somebody you trust,
right,
to tell you, hey, hit the 7-iron.
Right.
Having been being a dad of a
golfer. The way I feel when you and I play, the way I feel when
you it's that confidence. And so, yes, I'm going to go ahead and hit it, and that's good.
Right.
And that there's a point, though, when you want to take – the
and you
want no one to have to go through any dissertation with.
Right.
And I think there's where the players, as their careers have evolved, they have that right. I'd love to know, and it'd be great to see if, you know, to get Nicklaus' feedback and when he and Angelo, mm-hmm. you know, at what point was it ever that way? It probably never was, because
right.
Angelo was probably just that. He was there to give Jack the yardage, and Jack made all the decisions.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's a different scenario.
Right.
We didn't have what we have in a friendship slash mentor that mm-hmm. You know,
that
Jason and Colin and Jason,
right.
you know, that's a totally different, that's, like I said, a father figure. It's time for that to happen.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it went on this long, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. Well, we'll see how this all ends up. I think a lot of people were surprised at the timing of it. With the two biggest events of the year, really, other than the majors.
But there's the most pressure.
He has not been playing well.
Oh, no, he's just very erratic round.
Yeah.
Just, you know, we had, you know, the PGA Championship was typical of that. You
right.
played well one day and just awful the next.
Yeah.
That decision making was poor on 18th, shot himself out of the tournament with
right.
that quadruple bogey.
Yeah.
You know, that's just a. That's a mistake that
right.
Jason Day does not make.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Okay. Here's something else that came up this week.
Yeah.
The founder of PXG, which if you're listening and you have never seen these clubs or hit them, or this is a guy that Bob Parsons, his name is, the guy that founded PXG,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of the pros are playing.
They've got quite a following going on. Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's the guy that founded GoDaddy.
Right.
Okay. So he's got a lot of money.
That's where he made his money.
Right. So he says, you know what? I want to have a golf company now. I'm going to build these clubs, and they're going to be they are ridiculously expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Every set is custom built for you.
Correct.
Anyway, so he sent out a tweet a few days ago. TaylorMade Golfs, these new TaylorMade irons,
mm-hmm.
which you see commercials for all
mm-hmm.
the time, and
mm-hmm.
New P790 irons infringe upon many PXG patents. Sued them in federal court today! Exclamation point.
Yeah.
So now we've got a lawsuit going on with TaylorMade. Now you,
yeah.
with our good friends at Srixon and
mm-hmm.
Cleveland Golf,
mm-hmm.
this is like high tech warfare.
Sure.
In the golf business, with different companies and different
clubs,
it's
almost impossible to look at product and not expect some type of infringement, be it as
that's
to
what
the
I
extreme
wanted to ask you
in
about.
The
right.
that is, you know, on the outside edge of that, or just, you know, up
well,
against the edge.
It's almost like there's only so much you can do to
Correct.
Make a golf
and,
club.
And I think that, you know, we'll see how this plays out. But typically, you're not going to see a whole lot of one way or the other, that PXG is going to have a hard line reason and the same
right.
with TaylorMade. It's going to be a very grayish area that will probably be settled out of court. And I don't think there'll be a cease and desist.
Right.
That's my main thing.
That would be the most extreme.
Exactly.
Obviously.
And that's where, you know, you got a club that's been built and developed over the process of probably at least 12 to 15 months
yeah.
in its shaping and coming to the market
right.
and being tested, being approved by the USGA.
Mm-hmm.
These things don't happen without all the dots being connected and
right.
the T's being crossed. Yeah, there could be a visual look that, and again, without having the patents in front of you, And that's for patent lawyers to decide. And believe me, every company has that.
Oh, yeah.
They are an integral
and numerous
part of,
ones. Yes.
They're an integral part of every manufacturer, not just Golf Group, mm-hmm. of course. So it'll be interesting. Parsons is a pretty much an outspoken guy, as we know. And that doesn't surprise me that he went ahead and, you know, there was an opportunity to make even help gather some publicity for his brand, which he,
not shocking.
He's not shocking to do, and piggyback and kind of thwart the launch of the new product from TaylorMade
right.
because, they're definitely, you know, as premium irons go, premium product that you mentioned with PXG, there's plenty of companies. Callaway's taking a shot at that as well. The mm-hmm. premium, ultra premium market. It's not just for everybody. It's a product that's very customized and very, very
expensive.
Exactly. Yeah. And designed for that person. You know, we'll put it in the category of those who drive Ferraris and that type of stuff. And that's what it is. And so,
like me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Nice.
But
nice.
I'm sticking with my Strix on irons. I wouldn't go. I'm not getting anything else.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you.
See you.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.
On the phone with me now, my buddy who I was very worried about, you know, as I've said, those of us that love golf and have friends in the world of golf, a lot of those friends live in Florida. So when, I hate to even say the name, Irma, came through, we were pretty worried about all those people. And Dan Houser was certainly one of them that I was thinking about. And it turns out he got out pretty easy. Compared to what could have happened from Lynx Magazine, one of my favorite people, Dan Houser. Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm here. I survived you, my man.
Now, the day before it was supposed to hit, I was getting all these, I was checking on people, and I think I checked on you, and it was you were pretty worried, as everybody was there, but you made it through okay, right?
Yeah, you know, we kept making those turns west, and every time it turned west, it meant, you know, less and less of an effect on my end over here. So I actually got incredibly lucky. I didn't even lose power during the storm. I live in a pretty new development here, you know, in the Jupiter area. So all the power lines are underground and over here. So I'm sure that probably played a factor in it as well. But we didn't lose any power here. Obviously, it was still pretty chaotic before and after the storm with everyone getting ready, and then as businesses slowly started opening back up, but all in all, I personally got very lucky.
Well, that's certainly good news. It brings up an interesting point, and then we'll get to some golf. I have a very close friend who's English, and she put on Twitter just a couple of days ago that in the UK, all their power lines are underground, and they don't worry about big storms, or now they don't have hurricanes like we do in Florida, but she can't understand why the power lines are not underground here. And you make a really good point. I mean, it's probably a really good idea.
Yeah. I don't know what would have to go into that or how much it would cost to do that, but it seems to be more and more places, new places being built are like that. And they seem to be the ones that fare the best when these types of storms hit.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully it'll be a while before we have to talk about this stuff.
Agreed.
I think even the people that don't live there are sick of these storms. And
yes.
So hopefully we're okay. All right. Let's start off, obviously, getting your thoughts on this weekend. And next weekend is really everybody's fighting to get in the top 30 this weekend. And we'll see what happens later. But next weekend, top 30, East Lake, the big one, 10 mil probably on the line, and all kinds of stuff. Just quick thoughts on what's gone on maybe so far in the first 2 weeks of the FedEx.
Well, if you just look at the list of winners from the first couple of events of the playoffs, it speaks for itself in terms of how exciting the playoffs have been up to this point. And, you know, that's why they were created, was to have this end-of-the-year excitement and to get all the best guys in the world playing against each other, you know, as they're battling up against football for ratings. So,
yeah.
So far, so good. The big standout to me so far was Phil Mickelson. You know, he had a good first round. You know, if he can keep it up, he can hopefully squeeze his way into the top 30. I mean, he's already been selected to the President's Cup as a captain selection. So, having him play Eastlake and keeping his game, you know, strong and sharp heading into the President's Cup can never be a bad thing. It can also never be a bad thing having Phil Mickelson playing in a tour championship, even if he doesn't have a realistic chance of winning it. Anytime you have Phil in a tournament, it always makes the tournament more fun.
Yeah.
Other than that, Jason Day, you know, parts ways with his longtime caddy and then comes out and shoots a 64 right out of the gate. You know, it's almost like a baseball team firing a manager and then going on a 5-game winning streak.
Right.
Sometimes it's just change for the sake of change and
maybe it freed him.
It's the result.
Yeah, well, it kind of, this is what I think, you know, with Rory and Phil not having bones now, and, you know, maybe it takes a little bit of the pressure that they were feeling off, and they're just out there, you know, with a little bit of weight lifted off their shoulders. Because obviously, this is something, this guy has been a father figure and his coach. He's going to stay his coach. But if it's not going well and you're thinking about doing that, that absolutely has to be weighing on your mind the whole time you're out on the course.
Absolutely. And another thing that factors in, too, is, you know, notice the theme, too, with a lot of these guys, with Phil and with Rory and now Jason Day, they've replaced their longtime caddy, who they've kind of used as a crutch, you know, to rely on for everything, with just friends of theirs. And, yes,
right,
obviously these friends of theirs have golf experience. They're not, you know, they're not pulling some just random guy out of the gallery and saying, here, carry my bag. But because they don't have those guys that they were relying on as crutches, now they're doing more of the work on their own. They're stepping off more of the yardage. They're doing more of a club, their own club selection. So it's more on them, and you know, that could factor in it as well in terms of the I guess not even necessarily the freedom to do what they want, because they really could always do what they want, but knowing that they can do what they want, not have somebody questioning them anymore,
right,
maybe, is got to be freeing as well, I would imagine.
Right, and as I said, Colin's going to stay as his coach, and he's a huge part of his life. So, and he's, Colin's done, as Bones has done over all these years, and JP for Rory, these guys have done pretty well for themselves over the last few years.
Yeah, I don't think Colin's hurting financially, but, like, you know, as you mentioned with staying on as a swing coach, I mean, if it wasn't for Colin Swatton, I can assure you that Jason Day would not be playing golf today. And one could even argue, if it wasn't for Colin Swatton, Jason Day might not even be, you know, a free man today. I mean, you know, obviously it really deeply, you know, troubled him and whatnot after his father died. And he's admitted, and we've learned about it over documentaries and whatnot, that he wasn't in a good place after that happened. And Colin was the golf coach at the academy that he was at, and took him under his wing as that father figure that you mentioned, and kept him, you know, in the straight path of life and with golf, and obviously brought him here, and is a big reason why he's been so successful as a professional golfer.
Right. All right. So that's the FedEx Cup. I can't wait for next week. Next week is really going to be something. By the way, you mentioned Phil and how well he's playing in the last couple of weeks. I was watching, I think yesterday, they mentioned that he made a slight tweak to his putter. He changed the loft on his putter, and all of a sudden he starts rolling stuff in like he used to. It's always really interesting to me when these guys make a slight tweak to something, and it seems to be, whoa, that's all he needed. Now here he goes. It's always funny to me.
That might have been the most Phil Mickelson statement ever. He changed the loft on his putter.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just to somebody like you or me, who's just, you know, a guy who gets out and plays on the weekend. I mean, I didn't even, you know, you obviously know a putter has loft, but that would probably be so far down on my list of things that I would change if I wasn't, you know, having a good day on the greens.
Yeah.
That I don't even know where that would rank for me, thinking of, oh, maybe I should change my putter loft.
Yeah, me too.
But these guys, but that's Phil for you in a nutshell.
Yeah.
He's always tweaking like that.
Yep. You know, if I was missing putts, I would throw my putter in the water and get a new putter. Maybe
pretty much, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all these years, maybe I just needed to tweak the loft on my putters. Huh.
Next time I'm thinking about breaking my putter over my knee or throwing it away, I'll just go ahead and tweak the loft.
All right, good. Attaboy. That's attaboy. All right, real quick, one other thing, because I always check your Twitter account, and everybody out there, you can follow him. It's at Danhauser Golf, HAUSER. Danhauser Golf, and the great writer for Lynx Magazine. You mentioned something. We have this week the Evian Championship on the LPGA, the fifth major, being played overseas there in France. And for the second time, the first round entirely wiped out. Some golfers only played nine holes. They totally threw out the first round, turned it into a 54-hole event. And a lot of people are calling for a date change for the Evian, because I watched highlights. They put on highlights from last year, and it was miserable out there last year, too.
Yeah, it's tough to justify having a golf tournament like that being a major if you can only play 54 holes due to the weather, due to the time of year it is. Now, the other interesting thing that's factored into here, too, which makes you kind of question the decision as well, is there's no, you know, they were saying about not wanting to have to push it to a Monday or Tuesday finish. Well, there's no LPGA event next week, so why can't we have a Monday or Tuesday finish if that's what it takes to get all 72 holes in? It's not like a regular week where, okay, you're going to have a Tuesday finish and everyone's got to get to another town and play 2 days later. There's no tournament schedule next week. So if this thing takes till next Thursday to get done, what's the issue?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. If this really is going to be a major and you're going to treat it like a major, then treat it like a major all the way through.
Right. It really doesn't make any sense. And my first thought when I saw that was, this will be interesting to see who benefits the most. And on Friday, I'm not sure, I can't even remember who it was, I saw somebody was six over through nine holes and came back out the next day, rather on Thursday, and came back out on Friday and was like five under. So, you know, there's...
And we're seeing a good amount of that. So obviously they're taking advantage of the fact that they got their scores wiped clean from the opening round.
Well, good for them.
I know, right?
Good for them. Okay.
Hey, if they're all playing by the same rules, might as well take advantage of it, right?
Absolutely. That's right. All right, before I let you go, what about the golf courses around Jupiter and where you are? Were they hit at all? Was there a lot of damage to any of the golf courses you play?
I mean, you're pretty standard, you know, broken tree limbs, some down trees. I haven't gotten out and checked much yet. Nor have I heard, you know, a lot of stuff. I mean, the golf courses throughout the week were slowly opening back up. I believe by today, pretty much everything's back up and running as normal.
Right.
Obviously some flooding. I mean, we did have a lot of rain in the area, but like I said, for the most part, at least in this specific area of Jupiter that I'm in, we got incredibly lucky and very much spare. Just probably about 20 to 25 miles north of us, they had over 17 inches of rain, and we had nowhere near that number. So it was almost like we were in a little bubble as those bands were coming through in terms of a lot of the worst of it.
Right.
So, I've heard some. I mean, obviously, we lost a lot of trees in the area. We lost a lot of tree limbs and whatnot. So, but other than that, no major damage other than, obviously, having to remove some trees.
That makes me really happy, obviously, that everything turned out okay for you. And
I appreciate that.
As always, I can't thank you enough for joining me, and I'll talk to you very soon.
Sounds good. Always good talking to you.
All right. See you.
All right. Bye.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play golf, Lexington.
Okay, well, here I go again, everybody. We all know that I have said on not only on Backspin Golf, but on our new show that Colm Taylor and I are doing. Hang on, listen to this, Mickey. Are doing on the English Premier League, which we've done about five episodes now, that I was absolutely Irish in another life, and that Ireland is my favorite place in the world. And so for me to be able to talk once again to Michael Gallagher, or Mickey as we know him, is one of the great joys of my life. And we have him on right now all the way from Ireland. Hi, good morning, Mickey. How are you?
I'm doing good, Marty. How are you keeping yourself?
I'm all right. I'm here in Allergy Alley, as we like to call it, and having a rough couple of days. But I feel much better now that I get to speak with you and hear that beautiful accent.
Thanks a million.
All right. Everybody that we have very faithful, loyal listeners on this show, and they know all about you and the Irish Junior Open and the friends that I've made, not only you, but Jimmy Ryan and his son Sean, I talk about a lot. We just finished, wrapped up this season of the Irish Junior Open, and I want you to just fill everybody in here on how it went. It was incredible, starting with Gary Player's involvement in this.
Yeah, Gary Player got involved from the start of the season. A good friend of mine, Bart O'Brien, sent him an email, and basically from that email, it snowballed into Mr. Player getting involved, not just on Twitter, as you would have seen, with many retweets and videos that he had sent across to me, but he allowed me to put his name to the overall Irish Junior Open Junior Golfer of the Year trophy, which was remarkable, considering this is one of the greatest, I would say, greatest sportsmen of all time, not
yes.
just golfers.
Yes.
You know, it's a remarkable accomplishment. You know, what that man has achieved coming from where he has came from in South Africa, it's a remarkable story, and it's a story that I enjoyed, actually, at every event. I enjoyed, shedding some light on Mr. Player to the kids, because, these kids are, between the ages of 5 and 18, and they know very little about what he has achieved. And it was remarkable him getting involved and for him to basically put his name to the trophy, which, is going to be there for, the duration of the series. It's incredible to think that, 3 years ago when I started out this year, it was basically just a 2-day golf event.
Yeah.
To cater for the younger kids that hadn't any opportunities in Ireland. And to see it now grow to become the second largest junior golf series in Europe, and have Mr. Player involved along with numerous other celebrities. It was actually the other evening just going through my phone, looking at all the celebrities that have given me a verbal or a video endorsement. And it just blows my mind every time I look at it to think that, these famous people have taken time out of their schedules to do that for me. So it's just incredible. And hopefully now next year we can push on and grow it even further.
Well, I'm almost at a loss for words because I met you in a certain way, and I've been following this for the couple years now, and you're being very humble. What you've accomplished here is really kind of staggering. I'm sure you feel that way when you think about it, but even to me, and following all of you listening, it's at Irish Junior Open on Twitter. Follow him, and you can see the videos of the competitions and these kids and the way they play and their swings. Frankly, it makes me sick that somebody like Jimmy Ryan last year, the Junior Golfer of the Year, who was 9, with that swing, I took a screenshot of it and put it up on my Twitter account, and I started getting all these people talking to me. I've never seen a position at the top like that, and the kid is 9, Mickey, really, 9.
Yeah, there's an exceptional pool of talent in Ireland at the minute, and even abroad, like this year, we had competitors coming from Spain, Belgium, Dubai, Abu Dhabi. And, it's great to see these kids coming because it opens my eyes up as well, to see what the outside world effectively is doing with, these young prodigies. And it's great to see, that the word is spreading outside of our shores. And even with yourself, it's great that we can have these discussions and spread the word even to the United States of America, which I'm very fond of myself now. I was over there a few months ago, and it's a great country. So, I think the talent, the pool of talent is exceptional, and I'm just hoping one day one of these kids can break through and do something big in the world stage. That there would be all that I would ever want from the series. If somebody could go on and do something big, that would be great to see that they've came up through my junior golf series.
Well, I would think that the chances of that happening are pretty good, because these kids,
hopefully.
And again, here's the great thing, because we talked about this last time you were on with me, and I know from talking to Jimmy Ryan about his son Sean, if they love what they're doing, you know, Jimmy said he's obviously a pretty talented kid, but if he doesn't really want to do this, I'm not going to push him to do it just because he's done this up till this point in his life. It's all about providing an opportunity for all these kids from all over the world to come and play in this competition, which has gotten so big, and that's a great thing.
Yeah, a lot of the parents, you know, a lot of the parents are very, you know, they're not very pushy towards their kids, which I like. Like, the overall winner this year, that won the Gary Player Trophy, was a young guy. I'm sure you've seen him on my Twitter and Facebook, Ollie McAvoy. Like, his father, Damien, has never won to push him. And even just last week, I had to call down to Damien at his golf club, Ballycastle Golf Club. And the first person I seen on the putting green was his son, Ollie. And, like, you know, at 7 years of age, to be on the putting green just after school in a school uniform, working on his putting stroke. And, like, he says, do you want to play a wee match, Michael? So I thought, yeah, let's give it a go. And the bugger got me in the last hole, the final putt. So he's got bragging rights on me now for a long time, which I'm not so happy with. But it's all in good humor. But no, the parents in general are pretty relaxed here, and it's great that they're not forcing their children into golf or whatever.
Right.
You know, the kids are doing it off their own accord, which is great to see.
It is. All right. So a quick wrap-up of this year. Ollie won. Can you explain in a couple minutes how this is set up? So when people hear, well, Sean Ryan was 9 and Ollie is 7, how is the competition set up to crown a junior golfer of the year?
Yeah, there's 6 events throughout Ireland. There's one in each province of Ireland, and then there's 2 basically like final events. So none of the events are qualifying. I stress that a lot, but I just like to hammer it home. You know, if competitors wanted to play in one event, they're playing 6 events. They're entitled to play in as many events as they wish. Obviously, the more events they play in, the better the chance they have of winning, because there's points at each event. So basically, there's points for turning up to an event, and there's points for finishing in the prizes, effectively, depending on the numbers of entries in each event. But basically, it's the overall junior golfer of the year who wins the Gary Player Trophy. They get that title for having the most points throughout the whole of the Irish series.
Right.
Now, I have an event in Spain now at Halloween in Marbella, but it's almost, if you like, an end-of-season golf holiday as such. It doesn't actually count towards the Gary Player Trophy. So that's basically how it's accumulated. And to give you an example, Ollie McAvoy, who won the overall series, he played in... 5 events out of the 6.
Uh-huh.
The 6th event, he was actually in America. He was competing in the World Championship.
Of course he was.
Where he finished, I think it was 9th or 11th. Oh. I'm not 100% sure. But so basically, Ollie played in 5 of the 6 events, and he won 5 out of 5. So, you know, there's not too many people can live with that kind of performance. And having seen Ollie firsthand this year, you know, he is an incredibly talented young golfer, so hopefully he can push on now and continue his fine reign of form.
Yeah, well, see, you just said it too. I mean, I hate to say this because I don't have that many, but you're kind of an idol of mine, because you've done all this with the Irish Junior Open Series, and then you casually, did you hear this, Sean? You casually throw in that you're having a kind of an end of a year event in Marbella. And it just makes me, what am I doing here? I got to come over there and somehow get hooked up with you in the Irish Junior Open Series, because I want to go to Marbella for a golf vacation.
you're more than welcome. Bring your sunglasses and your shorts on. We'll hook you up a golf buggy and we'll go out and shoot some birdies.
All right. Well, it's, as always, Mickey, I could talk to you for hours and hours, and it's so great to connect. And I always talk about you and how people can follow you, and we're going to keep doing that. And do you want, we have maybe a minute and a half left if you want. You want to talk about something that may be happening next year, or should we wait with that?
Yeah, I'm never one to sit still. My head works very funny sometimes. And
yeah.
Sometimes after having a successful year, I want to keep pushing on. And maybe someday it's going to get too much for me, but hopefully not anytime soon. But basically, I'm in the very early stages of creating something that, if it comes off, it's going to be for adult golfers in Ireland. If it comes off, not only is it going to benefit a charity to a huge amount of cash, it will hopefully be in the region of 50,000 to 80,000 golfers competing in a tournament, which I haven't looked into it, but I would safely say it would be the largest in Europe. So
yeah,
hopefully this is maybe, like I said, it's very early days. I'm hopeful of having it next year, but you'll be the first to know, Matthew, whenever it comes to fruition.
Okay.
But,
well,
as you say, when I put my mind to something, I usually try and succeed at it.
Yes,
so hopefully
you
it'll
do.
Work out.
And I have to say too, this I just saw this morning, this picture of you wherever that was taken. You're a movie star. That's what you are. I'll be talking to you real soon, and please give my best to Jimmy and Sean, and if you speak to them, and you're really one of my favorite people, and it's an honor for me to have you on. So thanks for doing it.
Matthew, it's an honor for me to be on your show, and thanks to everybody at ESPN and Shawnee Sean there in the background. that's great. Thanks very much, Matthew.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All the best. Bye-bye.
You too. Well, that'll do it for another episode of Backspin Golf. Once again, I want to apologize for, although part of me, it doesn't really, yeah, it's my voice is much deeper than normal, right? So that may be a good thing. It's just, you know, as I said, these allergies have been killing me, and I know because we live in a state with the highest allergy rate in the United States. I know a lot of you suffer through this too, and frankly, being on a golf course isn't that great when you have allergies, but I don't care. I'm going out again today. Picadome yesterday, Kearney Hill today, and I can't wait to get out there. Even if I'm sneezing, I might actually have an excuse if I mishit a shot that I thought I was going to sneeze. I wonder how many times I can use that. Thanks to our buddy Dan Hauser down there in Jupiter, Florida. Glad he made it through Irma okay, and that makes me really happy. Perry French, of course, my partner, the greatest. And how about Michael Gallagher, or Mickey as we call him, in the Irish Junior Open Series? I still can't get over that we're able to have a conversation with somebody it's that clear, and he's in Ireland, and I'm sitting here in Lexington. It's amazing to me. Thanks to Lexington Parks and Rec for my favorite golf courses. Edwin Watts, they have great stuff going on over there. Go check them out. And French Lick Resort, of course. And this is a beautiful time to get up to French Lick, if you can. It's only 2 hours and 15 minutes away, and it's well worth it. Two great hotels, golf courses, and a 51,000-square-foot casino, if you're so inclined. All right, we'll be back here next Sunday. Perry French and I will be in the studio as we get ready for the final round of the Tour Championship from Eastlake. Have a great Sunday and a great week. This is Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by French Lick Resort. Visit them online at FrenchLick.com.